Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. We're going to read verses 3 through 7 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. And let's read responsively. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? And let's finish on verse 7 together. Ready? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And let's pray. Father, thank you again. God, I pray that you'd be with us tonight. Lord, would you teach us the word of God tonight? Lord, though you'll use my voice and you'll use the thoughts that you've put into me, would you be so kind as to allow the Holy Spirit to teach it through us tonight? God, would you help us to yield? Help us to focus on what you have for us in a very special way. In Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. Our world has lost so much of something that anymore it's almost a bad word. Our world has lost respect. There was a day when people respected one another. There was a day when people used to answer sir or ma'am to each other. And by the way, it wasn't just children to parents, it was boys and girls to any adult. And by the way, adults answered children the same way. It used to be that people didn't even lock their doors because they could trust their neighbors. Now, you got to have 3 security systems, a dog, and 16 guns. Used to be that you didn't go into your neighbor's yard unless you had permission. Now, everything's public property. There was a day when a lady, or in our day, even a man, could walk down the street at night, not be afraid of being raped. There was a day when murder was news because it didn't happen by the thousands every day. I looked online at 4 different places. I pulled the numbers. This is just unreal to me. There are 3,562 abortion murders every day in America. There are 38 other homicides. That means there are 3,600 murders in America every day. That is 2.5 every minute, or 1 murder every 24 seconds. That means since we started our church service, there have been over 40 people murdered. That's tragic. And we wonder why we have no respect in our world. There was a day when business leaders were good people because they helped provide salaries and jobs for people. Now they're the bad guy and evil because they have more than somebody else has. There was a day when a man could get a bank loan on a signature. You could walk in and say, look, I need a loan. Here's my signature. I'll pay for it. Now you have to go through government approval and all the other things that aren't even legal. There was a day when teachers were respected as leaders in America. Used to be that teachers taught truth, morality to eager children that wanted to learn. Now they're held hostage by their students, held hostage by error, held hostage by political correctness and atheism. Now, it's a shame, I have to even say this, but now you have teachers that have posed for Playboy and strippers and sodomites as teachers, and there's nothing the world can do about it. Used to be that our political leaders fought for America before they led America. Today, they fight us for our freedom and apologize all over the world for how we got our freedom. Used to be that politics was for serving people, And we had heroes like George Washington, John Adams, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and Booker T. Washington. These were men you could point your children to and say, you could be like that someday. Now look what we have. God says that here in Genesis chapter 4, if you look at this passage, the Bible says that two brothers brought sacrifices to God. One obeyed God, one disobeyed God. God said a sacrifice was to be a blood sacrifice. Plants are not blood sacrifices. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. Abel brought of a blood sacrifice. God said, Abel, I respect you. By the way, if you look at it, the Bible says that God said, I respect you and I respect your sacrifice. He said, but Cain, this is God talking. God looks down and says, Cain, I don't respect you and I don't respect your sacrifice. Whew. It's pretty strong when a leader stands up and says, I disrespect you. I don't respect what you've done, and I don't respect you. Ooh, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty hard hit. Can you imagine God looking down and saying, calling you by name and say, I don't respect you, and I don't respect what you've done? That's what took place with Cain. Now, I want you to notice, he didn't respect Cain, and he did not respect what Cain did. You say, what does that all mean? Let me help you tonight. What is respect? What is respect? The dictionary would define respect as to inspect, to consider, to look with special attention, to treat with reverence or courtesy, to not intrude upon. That means when you have respect, you are inspecting something to make sure that it's done properly. For instance, I respect our church. I do. Before 6 o'clock this morning, I got here. I made sure everything was cleaned up, fixed up. I made sure everything was in place before the first person got here this morning. Before Brother Stoltz got here with Levi to go out on the van route, I had the music playing outside. You say, why? I wanted to make sure everything was inspected. I made sure all the classrooms were set up and ready to go. I made sure all the trash was empty. I made sure that the deodorizer was sprayed in the air so that it didn't smell like stale warehouse. You say, why? Because I respect you as our church enough to prepare for you. That's why the special music has been prepared. That's why the pianist, that's why there's an order of service, and we know well in advance of what's going on. Say why? Because I respect you. I respect your time. That's why we start right on time. That's why everything moves along in an orderly fashion. Say why? Because I respect you. I respect what you stand for. And I believe it's our job to plan for it and inspect it and make sure that it runs right. Means to look with special attention. I look over everything. I'm not a dictator, but I want to make sure everything's going just right. I know how much fuel was in the van. There's a man in our church that he comes by once a week and makes sure that the van's cleaned up and makes sure that it's full of fuel. But I got to realize that van went out Saturday for soul winning. It came back. It went to a youth activity where there was going to be they're going to walk through a cornfield, which means it was going to be dirty on Saturday evening. I told Brother Stoltz, don't you worry when you get here tomorrow to be cleaned up. I made sure there was money for them to vacuum the van out, make sure the van was ready this morning. When I got here this morning, I didn't disbelieve what people did last night, but I looked at it just to make sure it was done, because if not, I was going to go do it myself. Say why? Because that's making sure all the attention to the details right. He went out this morning, came back, went out this evening, going to come back. Guess what? That's called looking at things with special attention. I looked at the flyers that the kids got for their activity coming up. I made sure that the flyers were ready for the ladies' activity, made sure the sign-up sheet is there tonight, and all the other things. You say, why? Because there's special attention that needs brought to things. Folks, that's called respect. To treat with reverence or courtesy, not intruding upon. You won't find me, I don't mean this the wrong way, but if I call you, often I'll say, is this a good time or a bad time? If you say it's not a good time, I'll set a time to call you. Say, do you really mean that? Yeah, your time's just as valuable as mine is. I don't believe in intruding upon somebody just because I'm pastor. So what? I respect your time as much as I believe you should respect mine. Now, wait a minute. Respect means that we treat each other with the proper position, disposition, and dignity. Did you catch that? Respect means we treat each other with the proper position, disposition, and dignity. Fellas, it's not real. There was a trend back in the 70s. Men used to call their wives the old lady. That's not real respectful. Now, whether she's young or old, she might be your lady, but treat her like a lady. I realize some of you might use that in jest, but I wouldn't use it in public an awful lot. Say why? Because it's kind of disrespectful. Okay, the military. Many of you folks have been in the military. And, of course, next week is Veterans Day. It's coming up here real soon, and I bleed red, white, and blue. Had I not gotten into God's army, I believe I would have gotten into the United States military. But God called me into something that was a little higher calling. I could do more for my country doing what I'm doing than what I could have then, and I knew that. That's why I did not go. But I love our military. I love our military people. You'll understand this. When there's somebody that has a higher rank, whether you like that personality or not, you're to respect their rank. That's just the way it's supposed to be. Guess what, boys and girls? That's the way it's supposed to be at school. Whether you like that teacher or not doesn't matter. You respect them because of the position they hold. I don't like all of our politicians. Matter of fact, there's not many of them I like. Matter of fact, I don't know one that I like. But I respect their position. I respect the office of president. Now, I may respect it more than the guy that holds it, but I'll still treat it with respect. You say, why? Because that's what my job is. It used to bother me when Mr. Clinton was in the White House and all they showed was his pictures of him in his shorts jogging. Now, I'm not against showing pictures of the president in a casual moment, but you saw more pictures of that than you did with him in his suit. You never saw pictures of Ronald Reagan dressed that way. Which one was more respected? I believe in dressing the part. Now, when we go out to the Barneses to watch him catch the neighborhood on fire, have a bonfire. Oh, it was great. If you missed that, you missed something, trust me. When I drove up, he had already had the fire started, and I knew he had because everybody was at the fire station standing out the door watching. And I'm not kidding. Fire station just down the street from their house, and everybody was standing there with the big door open looking down the street at that fire, man. And but wait a minute. You have to respect fire. If not, it'll get you. Brother Gus, you got to respect electricity. If you don't respect it, it's going to get you. I respect it so much, I don't even touch it. If it doesn't have a switch on it, I'm not touching it. I don't even like going to, Brother Ed will tell you, we had to unload a whole bunch of spools of electricity one day, and I didn't even want to touch the spools of electricity on the back of the stupid truck, and they hadn't been hooked up yet. I don't like wire. Say why? I know it goes through that thing. Forget that mess. Say why? I respect it. You have to respect people. Boys and girls, you need to respect your mom, and you need to respect your dad whether you think that they're right or not. They have a position you're supposed to respect. I'm just telling it like it is. Now, listen to me very carefully. We need to separate personality from position and respect the position properly. You might not like your boss at work, but guess what? You're supposed to respect it. Amen. Fellas, whether you work for a man or a woman, you're supposed to respect the position of the person that works over you. I didn't like every supervisor I had, but I treated them with respect. I had a supervisor that worked with me in the shop. He was a co-worker of mine, ended up getting moved up. He was great to work with as a co-worker, but he was one of those guys when he got the position of leader, it was like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You know, something switched in his brain, and he went from a great guy to work with to Adolf Hitler in the flesh. Totally different. Say, what did you do? There was times I did not agree with him, but guess what? Just like all of my other supervisors, as my shift began, I went out and made sure that his coffee was fixed just the way he liked it. I made sure that throughout the shift that I made sure that he had plenty of coffee to keep him going. Say, but you didn't like him. I didn't have to like him, but I did respect his position. Say, wait a minute. How can you do that? Separate the personality from the position. I don't always... I was talking to someone here in the last week or two. And they said, now, Brother Bush, you might not agree with me on this. And I said, hold it. I said, I don't have to agree with you. You're the one in charge. You have to make the decision. I'll respect that. I said, we don't have to agree on everything on this to have respect. I said, sometimes I don't even agree with the decisions I make, so don't worry about it. He began to laugh. He said, I'm glad no somebody else thinks that way too. He said, there's a lot of decisions I've made that I don't agree with now. And I said, good, we're on a level plane. Let's keep going. You're not going to agree with everybody 100%. Fellas, you ought to respect your wife. Wives, respect your husband. You say, but you don't understand. He's about to mess up. Then he takes the responsibility for it and go on. If he messes up, it's his fault. It's that simple. Respect is earned not by outward appearance. Now, listen to something here. It's not gained by outward appearance only. If I came, and I've used this before, if I showed up, I was wearing a pair of shorts that came down to my knees and got my knobby knees and hairy legs hanging out, and I had a t-shirt on, and a ball cap turned sideways, and I came out to preach, you would lose respect for me. You're not dressing the part, preacher. You're right. I believe in dressing the part. I believe in honoring the position of pastor. I really do. But when I go hunting, I'm not wearing a two-piece suit and tie and all that stuff, usually, unless I got to really hurry and I throw my coveralls on over top. And then I take the tie off and the coat off. Say, you've done that? Uh-huh. Now, wait a minute. I didn't go to the bonfire out at the Barnes' dressed like this. I had a pair of jeans on and a long-sleeved shirt. I don't know which one. Doesn't matter. I was colorblind and it was dark. Who cares? You don't know what color it was either. Now, wait a minute. I believe in being appropriate. The Bible says, let me read a verse to you here, and I'm going to be turning through my Bible quickly, and you probably won't be able to catch up to me, but James chapter 2, verse number 3, and ye have respect to him that weareth gay clothing, that's not talking about the sodomites either, and say unto him, sit thou here, or sit in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. In other words, just because someone is dressed well doesn't mean you should respect them better than someone that's not dressed well. Hollywood is not a good indicator of respect. Did you catch that? It seems like in Hollywood, it's not how much can we wear, but how much can we get away with not wearing. Hollywood is not the one that's supposed to set the trend fashions. God is. We're not supposed to look to Hollywood and France and all the other Fruit Loops and find out what we're supposed to wear. We're supposed to look to God and the Word of God, and when we do that, we gain the respect we're supposed to have. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 16, and again, I'm hurrying here, I'm getting to preaching, and I'm not looking at my Bible while I'm... Galatians chapter 2, verse number 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Just because somebody says that they're doing something that is a holy ritual doesn't mean they earn my respect. I hate to tell you this. I disrespect the Pope. I do not respect his position. He's sending people to hell if he's following the doctrines and the rituals that he believes in. And I don't respect that. By the way, God doesn't either. Guess what? The lightning didn't fall. Say why? Because he's putting everything into holy days and rituals that mean nothing. People are investing their eternity into something. And he says, well, I can take your sins away. That Bible calls that an antichrist. And I don't respect that. Well, he is the vicar of heaven. I say he's the vicar of hell. Unless he gets saved, he's going to fry like a sausage in hell. Oh, you should respect that. No, I shouldn't. Why should I put up with evil doctrine? I don't respect. By the way, God does not have any respect for it. See, well, I don't think you should do that. Okay, when it's your pulpit, you don't do it. But while it's my pulpit, I'm going to do it. As Brother Hiles used to say, this is my pulpit. If I want to split my britches in my pulpit, that's my business. How'd I do, Brother Ed? I did it a little faster than he did it too. I'm a lot younger then. Now, wait a minute. I don't believe that just because you do some ritual that you earn respect. You're going to get tired of me saying a guy that wears a $500,000 grapefruit on his head. That's the Pope, by the way. You say, why? Because just because you wear a $500,000 grapefruit on your head doesn't mean you earned respect. Now, I realize we naturally lean towards what people wear, whether we'll respect them or not. I believe if you're going to stand here and sing, you're going to teach in Sunday school, work in the nursery, or do some leadership here in the church, that you ought to dress right. Amen. But it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, you come to church. Well, do all the ladies have to wear dresses to come to church? No, they don't. Everybody doing okay? Amen. Yeah, and that's going out on the internet all over the world, and I'm glad to say that. Amen. But I think as you start serving and start doing things in the church, that you ought to dress more like what God says. Amen. And we'll hold to that. I'm not afraid to enforce that. Say, why? Because that's what God wants. Amen. But everybody's invited. This is a hospital. Amen. It's a spiritual hospital where people come to get well, not because they're well. Boy, that's good stuff. We're not supposed to just demand respect because of our position or our authority. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17. I won't take time to turn there. According to Isaiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8, we're not supposed to gain respect only. Now, this is going to sound a little strange to you, just because of your work. That's selfish. I think we ought to respect certain things. I'm not afraid to say this, and I'm going to for a reason. I believe this piece of wood ought to be respected. It's called a pulpit. Now it is a sacred desk. Boys and girls, I don't think you ought to be on the platform running up here on the platform. This is an area to be respected. I just believe in that. Now I grew up in church, but I promise you one thing: I didn't play in church. Say why? Because that man sitting back there would have tore me up. He said, that's the house of God. You don't play there. Now, wait a minute. There's areas of the church you could play at. And by the way, we will. But when it comes to what's going on right here, I don't think this ever is a play area. Right. Now, if we're using it for something, then we're doing skits or something, that's a little different. But by the way, at that point in time, this is probably moved out of the way. This is not a play prop. This is a sacred desk. This is a pulpit. This is where the preaching of the Word of God comes across. I think it ought to be treated with respect. I just believe in that. If this is God's house, if you were going to go visit God and you walked into His house, how would you treat it? That's the way you're supposed to treat this place. That means, when you got trash, pick it up and throw it away. Don't leave it on the floor. Now, we'll go through and pick it up. You'd be surprised how much stuff I find and pick up. And that's okay. I realize we get forgetful, we get busy, we get excited. Kids bring things and kids leave things and everything else. And sometimes those of us that aren't kids leave things, and that's okay. It's going to happen, but I think we ought to respect the house of God. Boy, that's good stuff. Respect should be given, not sought for yourself. Now, I'll come back to that in a second here. Parents, listen to me. You need to demand that your children respect. Did you catch that? You need to demand that they respect. Amen. And I'll tell you why. Because if they don't respect you, they won't follow other authority. Yes. That means you have to live in such a way to where you're respectful. Yes, sir. I said this not long ago. When I had to paddle my children, I always used the word of God first. Say how? I always said, who disobeyed? You or me?
Me.
You're right. Did I make you do wrong?
No.
Did your mom? No. I didn't go past brother or sister, because at that point in time, the story changes. So, who disobeyed? You or me?
Me.
Okay. And you disobeyed to the point where God said, I'm supposed to spank you. By the way, I still believe in that. I don't care what the government says.
Amen.
Now listen to me. I would look at my children and say, God told me I am supposed to spank you. I don't want to do it. If I had my way, I wouldn't do it. But I'm not going to let you make me disobey God by not spanking you. Do you want daddy to disobey God? That's a loaded question. Even a three-year-old knows the answer to that one. No. Now, every once in a while, they tried.
Maybe.
Nope. I love you, but I love God more than I love you. And I respect God enough to where even you're not going to make me disobey God. Now, bend over. Say, man, you went through that every time. Say, why? Because I wanted them to know by what authority I had to do that. You know what? It draws respect. My kids don't hate God because I spanked them. Matter of fact, my kids love God. My kids love and respect authority. There are certain laws I obey that I hate. I mean that. There are places around town, I have no idea at all why it's 35 mile an hour. But I don't drive over 35 mile an hour in those speed zones. I think it's wrong that the United States government, the federal government, demands that we wear a seatbelt. I think it's the wise thing to do. I just don't like the infringement on personal freedom. Say, because you don't like the law, do you not wear your seatbelt? I wear it every time I get in the car. I don't like the fact that the government tells me I have to, but I'll do it because it is a rule. It is a law. By the way, isn't that the way it's supposed to be?
Amen. Yes, sir.
We don't pick and choose the laws that we like that we live by. Too bad our leadership doesn't choose how to enforce it. Parents, you must demand respect out of your children. As they get older, you got to remind them every once in a while, excuse me, it's yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're right.
My daughter's 15. My son's 22. I've got another son that's 18. They still answer to dad and mom, sir and ma'am. Yeah, but they're adults. It's going to stay that way. I'm 46 and still answer yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am to my mommy and daddy, and they're years old. Did I do okay on that one? Whew. Can I tell you something? Employers, demand respect out of your employees. Demand respect. I'm for you being kind and friendly to your employees, but guess what? There comes a point in time where you're going to have to boss. Say why? Because people are sinners, and you just got to put up or shut up. And that's just the way it is. Say, well, I don't like my boss. He's not real friendly. He's not paid to be your friend. He's paid to be your boss.
Amen.
Maybe if you do your job, he'd be more friendly. I used to tell my teachers when I was principal in two different schools, don't smile for the first 3 weeks of school. I used to have kids tell me, well, you can't give me demerits for the first 2 weeks of school. Liar, 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 pants on fire. I gave out demerits first day of school. Well, you can't do that. It's a rule. You break it, you're going to pay the price. Period. End of discussion. I had some kid tell me, well, it's the last day of school. You can't give me demerits. I said, you just got them. I'm in charge of it, and you just got more for your disrespect. I had a couple girls that tried to TP my office before graduation. In their diploma covers that night, they got demerit slips. Now, I didn't make those stick, but they didn't know that. You should have seen them. They sat back down and went. I just looked at them and went. Didn't I, Janelle? All right. Folks, I believe in respect all the way. Can I tell you something? There was a day when teachers had demanded students' respect. My first grade teacher, Mrs. Eggensweiler, and she was as big as her name. Mrs. Eggensweiler, I don't know what she was, but you know, to a first grader, she was a large person. Mrs. Eggensweiler walked around with the old wooden rulers, and when you did wrong, she smacked your hand with a ruler. I mean, pull the fingers down, and whack! I don't know if she grew up in Catholic school or what, but man, the worst kid in our school sat behind me. I won't tell you her name, but I still remember it. That girl, she was tough and mean. She was tougher than any boy in that school, I promise you. I don't know how many times that girl's hand got beat. And I'm thinking, you know what? That doesn't sound like it feels very good. I am just going to follow what that lady says. That's called smite the scorner, and the simple will beware. Amen? You know what? That was 40 years ago. I still remember her name, and I still think of her in a kindly way. She was a good lady. Huh. So, what is respect? That's what respect is. Obedience is the key to respect. Listen to this statement. Abel obeyed God, and God said, I respect you. Cain disobeyed God, and God said, Cain, I don't respect you. It's that simple. Obedience brings respect. Respect instills in followers a desire to obey. That leader that you have that follows the same rules you follow, guess what? You respect them and you'll follow those rules. Boy, that's a good statement. Turn in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 13 very quickly, and I'm going to read as soon as I get there. You can catch up to me, but Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 17 reads, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. When a leader has to give account to you or for you and it's in a bad way, that's not profitable for you. But when you follow and you submit and you do and you obey, guess what? When they give an account, it's with joy and not with grief. When you have a job review and you've done your job well, your bosses look at you with a report of joy and not with grief. But that one that's hiding behind the machine sleeping and going around the rules and the one that's not producing, guess what? It's not a good review. Can I tell you why? Because your boss has to give it with grief and not with joy. The one is respected, the other is not respected. Why? Obedience. You cannot have respect without obedience. Parents, make your children obey you. Did you hear that? Make your children obey you. When they obey you, you are teaching them respect. Well, they're tired, so I'll let them get away. It doesn't matter whether they're tired. Guess what? Tired people run this world. You're going to have to learn to obey when you're tired. I think the biggest mistake we make as parents is, well, they're tired and they don't feel good, so I won't make them obey. Make them obey.
Amen.
Good night. How many times do you have to go to work when you're tired? How many times do you have to work when you don't feel good? You're teaching them to disrespect their boss, disrespect their teachers, disrespect everybody because they're tired. Parents, you better demand obedience out of your children. Can I show you something? Employers need to promote obedience and correct disobedience. And listen to me very carefully here, and please don't get mad at me, but we've allowed labor unions to tell us you can't correct somebody because they did something wrong. God help us. Now, if you get in, you can't get fired, no matter what you do. I'm not for that. Production. If you're not profitable, hit the road, Jack. Go find somebody to hire, a lazy dude. Man, I was 16 years old, got my first job. My dad looked at me and he said, "Don't you ever stand there and do nothing." He said, "If your job's done, you pick up a broom and start sweeping. You pick up a mop and start mopping. You do something. You pick up a rag and start wiping, but there's something that could be done. You find something to do, whether it's in your job qualification or not. You just get busy and work. They're not paying you to stand there and do nothing." Thank God I had a dad that taught me that. By the way, I've never wanted for a job. Everywhere I've gone, I could go back and work. Say why? Because I learned how to work. Say, somebody said, "Ah, oh, I bet you enjoy being your own boss. You know how many hours I put in? I put in a lot of hours. Brother, Mrs. Sear, you know, you drive by the church. I'm here a lot. Can I tell you something? You know who my boss is? He's great to work for. Man, there's a lot of hours. He's up all the time. He never sleeps. You show how much you respect by how much you obey.
That's good. Amen.
You show me your obedience level, I'll show you your respect level. By the way, some of you don't respect yourself because you don't obey. Some of you don't obey the principles of the Word of God and you don't respect yourself. Well, you don't know my past and you don't know my situation. You don't know this. I don't have to know it. Just learn to obey and you'll get the respect you need. Boy, that's good stuff. Wisdom builds respect and foolishness tears down respect. Turn to Proverbs chapter 24. I'm going to have you turn to a couple verses. And then I'm done. You can go eat. Proverbs chapter 24, look at verse number 19. The Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. For there shall be no reward, respect, to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king. Meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment." Oh, some of you younger adults and older teenagers, you've heard Brother Bush say this a lot through the years. I don't care what your last name is. You're going to get treated the same way. It doesn't matter if your last name's Bush or if your last name is Lowther, or if your last name is Howard, guess what? They're all going to get treated the same. Amen. Say why? I'm not supposed to treat my children differently than your children.
Good.
That's just the way it is. Say, you have to understand, I was my own children's principal. I knew what trouble they were getting in before they got it. Say, did you hold back? No. I don't care what the last name was. If demerits were being issued, they got them. I knew before they did. I made sure they brought them to me to sign. There's times I'd say, you got demerits yesterday. I haven't seen it. Neither is your mother. Where are they at? I was just waiting, Dad. You waited too long. Let's talk. Wait a minute. Proverbs chapter 28, look at verse number 16. Proverbs 28, look at verse number 16. The prince that wanteth understanding is also a great oppressor, but he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his days. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit, let no man stay him. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. A faithful man shall abound with blessing, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and he that considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. Guess what? My daddy taught me something a long time ago. He said, son, doesn't matter who it is, that man puts his pants on the same way you do, one leg at a time. You don't look up, you don't look down, you look at him square in the eyeball. Folks, there was a day when you could look at a man square in the eye and tell what he was. Now nobody will look you in the eye. Man, there's people when I preach, they can't stand when I look at them. I look at them and they're... You throw a rock and a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one you hit. The more you put your head down, the more I'm preaching at you. Say why? No eye contact. Boys, you need to teach your boys how to shake hands. Amen. Teach them to look a man in the face. Reach that hand up and grab that hand. It shouldn't be a limp piece of fish. Yeah, here you go. No. Your boy does that to me, I'm going to teach him. I'm going to jerk that arm around, squeeze that hand a little while. Sometimes I do it just for fun, just to teach him. Look, grab a man's hand, grab it, and grab it strong, grab it hard. Now, be careful on the older men. Their hands hurt more than everybody else's. So many teenage boys need to back off that vice grip on these older gentlemen's hands, all right? You can't just, pow, there it is, brother. Okay? Them hands have been through an awful lot of work. Respect it, amen? I was trying to help you, some of you older fellers. People who are away, you're welcome, Brother Hawkins. People who are wise with relationships will gain respect. People who are wise with money and finances will gain respect. People who are wise with knowledge will gain respect. Just because you can cite encyclopedias don't impress me. How much knowledge do you know how to use? Everybody doing okay? I've met some what people call intelligent people, and I don't want to be like that. Nobody understands anything they have to say. They think they're something because they know something you don't know. Well, that's not a good teacher just because you know a whole bunch. My goal is to teach you what I do know, what I've learned from God, so that you can learn it, so that you can use it, so that you can be wiser. You know, people inflamed by all of their, everything that's theirs, lose respect. These rich snobs lose respect. By the way, poor snobs lose respect. Middle class snobs lose respect. You might not have much. My grandma taught me a long time ago, you might not have much, but you can make it clean and neat. You might not have the most expensive suit, but it can be clean and neat. It might have a little hole in it, but you can still make it clean and neat. Suit I have on, I bought. What do they call that thing? One of those, it's like Salvation Army or thrift store. That's the word I was looking for, thrift store. You're preaching in a suit that you got at the thrift store? Yeah, I got a whole bunch of them like that because I'm not too proud to go in and wear one. How about you? I'd rather use that money that I saved on that and help somebody else. Boy, that's good stuff. people who use the Bible as principle for their decisions will gain respect. Some of you will learn to respect and not hate the decisions I make. Can I tell you why? Because I'll make them based out of that book, not by what I feel. I'm not always going to tell you what I feel. I'll tell you what's right. Not long ago, a lady got mad at our church and left. She didn't leave before the invitation because she knows she probably would have stormed out the wrong way and got called down. But I could tell the whole time I was preaching, she looked at one of our deacons and said, "That man doesn't know the blankety blank what he's talking about." He said, "Ma'am, neither do you." And on she went. Say why? Because I spoke with the authority of the Word of God. Amen. She said, "God didn't write that book, men did." Well, she's wrong on the first point. Everything else I said made her mad from there. Can I tell you something? I don't speak from my authority. I have to speak with the authority of God. Guess what? That's why we'll preach His words.
Amen.
That's why He wrote the book and I didn't. Say, what would happen if you were God, Brother Bush? The whole world would have been blown up a long time ago. I wouldn't have put up with everything God puts up with. He's a whole lot better God than I'd have been. Respect. Let me ask you a question. How's your respect? Do you respect God enough to read His book? Do you respect God enough to talk to Him? Let me ask you a question. Some of you say, "Oh yeah, Brother Bush, I respect God. I respect God." How much of it are you obeying? Don't tell me with your mouth. Show me with your obedience. Ooh. By the way, that's not my words. That's His words. You don't impress me with your words. Impress me with your obedience to that book. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're going to heaven, you can know that. Somebody will take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Respect God enough to get saved. Respect God enough to do it His way. Some of you need to decide you're going to respect your mama or your daddy. Some of you need to decide you're going to respect your boss. Some of you need to decide you're going to respect your husband or your wife. Maybe you just need to work on respect in general. Hey, how's your obedience?